Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome everybody in. Is my mic on? It is on. All right, it is. Sound on. Welcome everybody into the Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. Producer Jake and Vershawn Jackson for the first segment of today's show. We're going to have a whole lot of fun together. A lot to talk about. Ton of college football games to react to, and I'm starting to see places where Ohio State fans want to fire Ryan Day. I will give my thoughts on that. I'll ask V-Jack real quick, but I'll give my thoughts on that later in the show. Is that crazy, or is this what happens when you spend $20+ million and you lose in October?
Yeah,
a game you really should have won. We're going to react to Matt Rhule's press conference around 12:30. All right, that wrapped up early today, but the first thing I want to chat about, all right, three-time national champ, one of the best to ever do it. I know I give him a hard time about going from fullback to tight end, but the man was a team captain for a reason, three-time national champ, one of the best to ever do it, Mr. Vershawn Jackson. If you miss the captain, 10 to noon every day here on The Ticket, him and T. Farley and Jake having a whole lot of fun, dropping a whole lot of knowledge. My question for you, and it's kind of apropos because we're playing a ranked team this weekend. I don't want you to give away your prediction for Indiana if you're not ready, but do you think Nebraska is going to beat a ranked team this year starting with Indiana?
I think it has to start with Indiana. I think if you don't beat this ranked team, it sets you up for failure moving forward, because it's not like it's going to get easier. Okay, you go from an Indiana team to an Ohio State juggernaut, right? That's probably going to be a little upset about what happened to them against Oregon. So it's like, or whoever they played and lost. My point is, you got to find a way to put all three facets of the game together. Special teams being the first thing. Offense, defense. You got to score points. I think it's going to take 28 to 35 points to win, and I think you got to hold them to 14.
Again, if you're not ready to give your official prediction, you don't have to yet, but do you think we're going to beat a ranked team this year starting with Indiana? Definitive answer.
I don't know. I can't give you one because you don't know who's going to show up.
That's a lot of truth.
That's the truth. We've been here all season long, and we've been waiting for us to play a complete game. All three, special teams, offense, defense together. When have we played one complete game?
So you're not wrong. And I don't know if you listen to my show at all. I try to check out yours as much as possible. Well, everybody tries to. Anyways, I digress. 24 quarters of football we played this year. By my personal evaluations and my opinion, the defense has played 22 good quarters. Second half of Illinois in overtime. Okay. The offense has played 13. See? Just over 50%. Okay, and I haven't even thought about the special teams. I try to analyze the special teams and get it the hell out of my mind when I'm done analyzing it. To me, Indiana is the team that's just as unproven as we are. They look more explosive. They look more dynamic simply because they're more consistent.
Yes.
They show up for at least three quarters of a game, if not the whole game. Whereas, to me, it actually, in my opinion, comes down to the offense. Because the defense is going to do enough. They have shown me enough the past couple weeks. They're back to playing good football. I think they were embarrassed the second half against Illinois, and they responded the way they should have. I think they're going to play well enough. I hope the special teams can be, and I've been saying this not as a joke, not as a jab. I would love for us to be average, but we're so far away from average. I would take slightly below average right now. We can be average by the end of the year because right now it's a flat-out liability. All right, Rutgers had no business being in that game except they started on our 2 and they started on our 28 in large part due to special teams. Not in large part, due to special teams, a block punt and a bad punt, as great as Brian Buscini was that day. If we can just be slightly below average on special teams, the defense can keep playing the way they are, it's going to come down to the offense. Do you start fast and then drizzle off the second half? Do you start slow like at Purdue and then wake up midway through the third quarter? To me, it's the offense. What do you think?
I think this week, offense is going to have to play extremely well. They're going to have to play four quarters of
kick-ass
football.
Yes.
But I think that Indiana's strength is their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to really show what kind of defense we really have this week.
I agree.
And if we figure out a way to stop Indiana's high-power offense on paper, then I think you can start talking about them in that greatness category. I don't know if I'm talking about them. I know we're looking good as far as in the statistical category, but when we really put good on good, how good are we?
I think they're the best offense we played this year, including Colorado, because they can't run the ball consistently. So you know they have to throw, and their O-line sucks at pass blocking. And I think we're the best defense Indiana's offense has played all year. I don't think our defense is just going to shut them down. What I think is our defense is going to play well enough that we should be in the game and we should win the game, because they shouldn't be more physical than us, even though we haven't been as physical as I would like. And then it's going to come down to, does the offense make halftime adjustments? Do they start fast? Are they awake? Last time we played at 11 a.m., we weren't awake. It was our first time with a morning game, and it was the first time on the road. So now at least we've done that before. We should be fresh off a bye instead of a rough loss at Illinois, and then here comes Purdue, and we putter till 5 minutes left in the third quarter, and then we blow them out the water like we should have. I guess my thought is this. If we show up and we can get three good quarters out of the offense, which we've done one time this entire year, the rest of the time is two good quarters. If we could get four, I'm going to predict us to win. If we get two, I'm taking Indiana. If we get three, at least three, can we expect more than three realistically with what we've seen? If we get three, that's when the game gets really interesting.
How much is that, though, as play call? Yeah, I know we look at the offense, though, and say, okay, the offense is stagnant. But how much is that as play call? If on 3rd and 11 and we're on the opponent's 21-yard line and it's 3rd and 11, we call a run, are you really trying to – what are we doing? You understand what I'm saying? If it's 3rd and 3 and you're on the 20-yard line, you need 3 yards for a first down, and you throw the ball deep, what are we really trying to do? If it's one more, I got one more.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
If you're on the left hash
and
you know you got a struggling kicker, field goal kicker, that is, do you try to throw a ball and get an incomplete and where the ball is put back on the left hash? Or do you say, I'm going to play smart football and I'm going to put this, we're going to run the ball to the middle of the field and put it exactly in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play, give me my 3 points. So when our defense is playing lights out football and they give us the ball 4 to 5 times on the 50-yard line or in, and we come away with zero, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get
12.
Not
going to argue with you. You're right.
Let's get 12.
Dude,
give them an easy way out. And go, so I'm looking at play call, and I hope that we don't get out-coached. I think we've been out-coached the last half of a lot of these games, and I think we gotta change that. We gotta do the out-coaching.
I'm not going to argue with anything you just said.
Thank you.
So I've not offered definitive thoughts on Marcus Satterfield so far this year.
Sure.
Partially because he's got a true freshman quarterback, and I wanted to see what Dylan could do. Now we've got an idea of what he can do. Now, what's he going to do versus tougher competition? We'll see. But you make a phenomenal point. Every single game this year, the exception of UTEP, that's the one game I give us three good quarters. That was the long time ago, first game of the year. We have been outplayed in the second half, even if we haven't been outscored. And I look at the Northern Iowa game as one of those games. We outscored them. They outplayed us.
Yes.
A lot of that is halftime adjustments. Even Purdue, where we scored 28 with the last 20 minutes to go, there was a pick six in there. I think we just woke up. Yeah. I think we just woke up is what happened there. And I'm not trying to take anything away from the coaches, but I think we just woke up because we were moving the ball the entire game. Just couldn't do anything. First six drives went into Purdue's territory and we got 0 points. Okay, so it wasn't like we all of a sudden made adjustments. We just woke up and executed better. To me, you look at the Illinois game, and I love Tony White. When people were like, he should be fired, I was like, you're an idiot. Like, you're an idiot after the Illinois game. Like, you are an idiot. That was ridiculous and asinine. It doesn't mean he didn't get out-coached by Brett Bielema the second half of that game, and that contributed to us losing. Outside of that, he's been phenomenal this year, and he's a human being, and that's okay. They're getting paid over there, too. The second half of every game except for UTEP, offensively, I feel like we have been outcoached by the defensive coaches. Do you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. I think, you know, you don't – I watched the – you go back to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
right? And Yale, everybody, well, we dominated Colorado, did we?
We got outscored 10-0 in the second half.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that, to me in itself, because a football game is a game of two halves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a game of one half. It's a game of two halves. And so the two halves make the whole, and holistically, we haven't played a complete game yet.
That is true. I would argue with that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When you do look at this Indiana, this game in itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the road, you haven't proven that you can beat a ranked opponent.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What are your thoughts? How do we go into Indiana, a hostile environment, and do something that we haven't done in a long time?
So, a couple of things. I have to say what I believe is going to happen and then address the question marks. Because that's going to be the difference maker. Like I said earlier, I believe the defense is going to play well, that we'll have a chance to win. Okay? The question marks are the special teams. Can you just not be a liability and give them the ball at our 2 and our 28 and our half of the field? Okay? That's the biggest question mark. Number two for me, can we be more physical than a team that is dynamic, explosive, but hasn't been insanely physical yet? I'm not saying they lack physicality, but they're not a team that you're watching like, oh my God, they're insanely physical. Can we actually be the more physical team? Because we can't say that a lot of this year, especially with the run game or lack thereof. We're averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Last year was almost 5, okay? And the passing that we're doing effectively should open up the running lanes when we do run, and it hasn't yet. That Purdue game still sticks in my craw that we couldn't run the ball against them. I just talk about it like every other day randomly on here for no apparent reason because it sticks in my craw. The other biggest thing is the offense four quarters. To me, if the special teams isn't a liability, if we can just be equal to or a smidge more physical than Indiana, to me, the ultimate tiebreaker is, and I'm assuming that we're going to continue to take care of the ball, knock on wood. I'm assuming Dylan Raiola is going to continue to play like he has almost the entire year. I'm taking these things for granted, which you never do. Again, knock on wood. The difference is because they play four quarters. They make in-game adjustments. Kurt Cignetti, who brought a bunch of guys, 11 players from Austin Peay, he has come in there and he has turned them into a what appears to be, against a soft schedule, 109th strength of schedule in the country so far, a really good football team. Can we play four full quarters? Can we make halftime adjustments? Can we, if we get a lead and it looks like we should coast, which we tend to coast instead of putting the nail in the coffin, can we either put the nail in the coffin or if we fall behind, can we make the adjustments to get back in the game and then overtake them in the second half? To me, those are the three big things: special teams, physicality, in-game adjustments with the coaches on offense specifically.
I think you're right on that, but you got to make the in-game adjustments. But I think the one thing that we haven't done, at least I haven't seen it, I saw it at the end of the game last week, intensity. I don't know if we've matched the intensity that we need in this game. You know as well as I do, sometimes your intensity, just the intense, your face and what you're doing scares people.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't know if we've had that intensity, if we played any game with that level of intensity, and you're going to need that. You're going to need, I'm going to kick your ass. I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
They're going to need laser focus to win this game on the road.
The nail in the coffin mentality. If we get a lead, we have yet to put the nail in the coffin of any game. 14-0. At halftime versus Rutgers, 14-7. 28-0 halftime, Colorado 28-10. Just to give a couple of quick examples. Like, if we get a lead, you got to put the nail in the coffin. You can't let them back in. If we fall behind, we have a history here of not winning close games. We just won a one-score game, of not beating ranked teams, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of these things have not happened basically since 2016, okay? And so it's kind of, you got to break through the mold. You got to break through the ceiling. And I'm going to give the stupidest example ever, but I'm going to give it. Because it was the perfect example of I'm going to beat you mentality versus I'm not used to beating you. My brother-in-law, Phil, and I have a phenomenal relationship, and we have, I won't call them ping pong wars because I always win, but we play a ton of ping pong. I love Phil. He's one of my favorite guys I've ever met.
Let's go, me and you in ping pong.
Right. Anytime. All right. Like, we played 35, I kept track. There was a 35 game span after I got drafted to St. Louis. I beat him 34 out of 35 times.
Oh, my okay? God.
But here's my point. There was a game where he was up on me 18-3. You go to 21. I grabbed the ball, had the ping pong paddle in my hand, grabbed the ball, and I looked at him. And I got his attention because he was over there doing his stupid little dance. He was celebrating. I love you, Phil. And I go, you know I'm going to win, right? And I was dead serious. He looks at me and he goes, I know. And I won. I came back and won. Like, that's what Nebraska is missing.
Yes.
Is we know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And you're going to have to take it out of our cold, dead hands.
Yes.
It's a stupid analogy, but it's so true. Like, there was zero doubt in my mind and also in his what was going to happen. And we've got to have that same zero doubt of what's going to happen, but you got to do it.
You got to do it.
Got to do it. And you got to have the mentality and the attitude that you're going to do it.
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Boom, 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 Sheeny.
Yeah.
And Sierra Wright, black shirts.
Oh, we talked about this. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I have no problem with that. Sierra Wright should have had one.
Yep.
I'm fine with the bye week. Wait until bye week. I'm cool with that. As far as Brian Buscini, so we actually debated this on the show last Friday. I said I was okay with it. He said, and I respected Jake's opinion. He said, I like keeping it to defensive guys. And then somebody sent in on the text line, feel free to correct us anytime, ladies and gentlemen. Facts don't care about feelings, including our own, that Alex Henry got one back in the day. Was it Alex Henry? Which, he's a field goal kicker. Now that I think about it, did he punt too at Nebraska?
He might have punted too. I think he did.
Like, you got to at least be a punter. Yeah.
He's got to be a punter. He can't get one as a field goal
kicker. The field goal kicker's on offense,
You got to think your punter is the first defensive play.
Yes.
Right? Punting.
Yes.
When you punt the ball, that is the first defensive play of defense. We had this discussion too, and people was like, no, it's the first. No, it's not.
Yes.
Because when you punt the ball, what are you going to do?
Play defense.
Defense.
They're part of the defense.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
So the fact that he has flipped the field for us.
Yes.
Multiple games. You cannot, and then I said this last, he got hit worse than any player we've seen all year.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what he did? Got up.
Made a difference.
Stayed in the game.
Inspirational performance.
You got to give him a black shirt. That's what a black shirt's all about. You don't make excuses. How many times did you play hurt? How many things did you get hurt? Because now is the season of, if I hurt my pinky finger, I'm going to sit out.
He said pinky finger.
I dislocated my pinky. Only reason why I said it, because I dislocated my pinky finger.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right.
I did that. And it was this way during the game against Missouri. I'm looking like, okay, that's not right. And I pop it back in.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, oh, God. So I go and I show them. They tape it up. And I played the rest of the game with a dislocated pinky finger.
So a couple of things real quick. First of all, the worst fingers I've ever seen in my life belong to Torrey Holt.
Johnny Rogers is pretty bad.
Are they pretty? I haven't seen his fingers.
Oh, God. This is going. These two are going like this. These two are going like this.
I'm going to do the most awkward thing ever, and I'm going to ask Johnny to see his hands and fingers the next time I see him. Torrey Holt, I was a rookie. He couldn't get his gloves on. He's like, Adam, can you come here and help me get my receiver's gloves on? And they were like, left, right, up. I'm like, how do you still play? I was insane. And now he's in the NFL Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champ multiple times. But you asked me about playing hurt. Here's another stupid story, but it's okay. I'm going to share it. And my wife listens to this show. She can text in and call me out or validate if she wants. When I was in St. Louis, my shoulder, I had to have major shoulder surgery operation. It was like the labrum, the subscap was all torn. I had to do it after the season. I couldn't even cut my own meat. Like during the week, I couldn't cut my own meat. So my wife, as pansy as this sounds, had to cut my meat for me. Come game day, I'd get a shot. I'd get another shot, and then I would take a bunch of Vicodin, which I ultimately got hooked on. I've never talked about that publicly.
Yeah.
Coming off of that, and the withdrawals was not fun. I didn't realize I was hooked on it, but I digress. And I went out and I played on Sundays. And then the next week, it was the same thing, the last half of the season. If she is listening, she's actually, all the kids are home today. She may not be able to listen. She can call me out or validate that. But my wife, ladies and gentlemen, I'm admitting this on public in front of a lot of guys, used to cut my meat for me. Immunity on those with a dirty mind, but used to cut my meat on the plate for me because I couldn't do it myself because my shoulder was so jacked up.
But you still play.
Long story short, I ended up still playing. Hey, I want to do this real quick. Okay. So, Indiana, Ohio State, USC. You want to talk about second half adjustments. USC was up 20-6 at halftime and ended up losing because of Penn State's second half adjustments. By the way, that tight end had 17 receptions for Penn State. That's insane. No other receiver on Penn State had more than three.
Wow.
That's insane. And they still won the game.
That's using your tight end, though.
Yes. Wisconsin and Iowa could potentially be ranked. All right, Wisconsin, all of a sudden, without their starting quarterback and running back, actually looks pretty good. All right, they just thumped, I know, Purdue 52-6 and then Rutgers 42-7, which had every Husker fan online freaking out. All right, but Wisconsin so far, and that Alabama score is a little jaded simply because their quarterback got knocked out in the first quarter, but their current quarterback was a highly recruited guy, won multiple high school state championships, and was a stud coming out of high school. He was just young. But they lost to USC, but I think they're sitting here, what, at 4-2 right now, but they all of a sudden look pretty good, like they could end up ranked. Iowa all of a sudden scores 40 points. I thought it was a basketball score. I'm like, how does Iowa score 40 points? I didn't even know that was legal. All right, on Washington and kill them 40-16. They could end up ranked. Do you think we either beat Indiana, Ohio State, because they're going to be ranked? We are going to play them. I don't think USC will be ranked again, but Wisconsin or Iowa, do we beat any of those teams? Are any of those teams ranked besides Indiana and Ohio State, Wisconsin and Iowa, and do we beat any of them or multiple ones?
It starts with Indiana. I can't go past Indiana. Okay. Because that's the weakest guy.
I get it.
Indiana is the weakest link. They're ranked 25 in the AP poll, right?
Yes.
There you go.
Well, they're higher than that, aren't they? Aren't they like 18th?
They're like 16th, 18th. Yeah, Nebraska's 25th.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, here's my point. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Indiana. I agree. You don't wait. You do it now so you can feel what it feels like to beat a ranked opponent and to win a big game on the road. We've never really experienced that since the Iowa game back when Mickey was the coach. We have not experienced a major, major win in the Big Ten at all.
That's true.
This is as big as it's going to get. I think if we beat Indiana, it sets the stage for us to beat Ohio State.
All right. That's an opening
you
segue.
You lose against Indiana. Ohio State looks really, really scary.
They look really scary anyways. But I get what you're saying. So, Indiana's going to be ranked. Ohio State's going to be ranked. Probably not USC. Definitely not UCLA. Wisconsin and Iowa. They could both be ranked. One of them could be ranked. Here's my wild prediction of the day. I don't know which teams yet. I haven't looked at Indiana in depth enough yet, as I mentioned to you before the segment. I think we beat two ranked teams this year. Whether it's Indiana and Wisconsin, Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin and Iowa, because they might both be ranked. I think they will be, honestly.
Are you giving us Wisconsin?
I'm saying we're going to win. Of the four ranked teams I think we're going to play this year, because I think Wisconsin and Iowa will eventually be ranked, I think we're going to win two of those games. That's what I'm saying. I don't know which ones yet. I got to look more
Wisconsin's
in depth at Indiana.
It's looking really, really scary. Why? I don't. You know why?
I know.
You know why they look scary?
I don't like it.
Because they're a team. Because there's no eye guys. There's no, hey, look at him. He's the best run. Look at the quarterback. It's a whole bunch of guys that we don't know playing great football together.
And what is going on with Iowa? How are they? You know, they've scored over 30 points. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 times out of their 6 games so far. They couldn't even average 25 a year ago.
They've got a great running back. That's the key. You got to.
I'm not arguing. I'm just stunned.
You got one of the best running backs in the league.
I don't like it because now it's like, oh, they're good at defense special teams and they score. Oh, boy. We'll see.
Well, I think we'll see. I think matchups and games make everything. I think the 11 o'clock kickoff against Indiana will be big on our end. Do we get up? We haven't proven we can get up. We got to get up early, eat our Wheaties, and get ready to go. I would love to see us come out like. I don't know. Have you saw us ever come out of the locker room with our hair on fire? The first kickoff, hair on fire. Because most of the time, the kickoff goes out of bounds, right? And it's a touchback. But who cares? Go set the tone and smack somebody anyway.
So there was a 3-game stretch, Northern Iowa, Illinois, where we scored a touchdown on our opening drives in 3 straight games. There was that. But again, that's where I come in with the halftime adjustments, though. The Purdue game was still tough, and Rutgers, actually, we didn't like set the world on fire, but the offense looked like it was doing pretty good, and then just not so much. All right, man, I appreciate you taking the time to join me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the captain, Terrell Farley, Vershawn Jackson, my man Jake, producer Jake, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday here on 93.7 The Ticket. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.